Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. We are now in Chapter 3 of the little book called 7 Ways to Choose Healing by Stephen Arterburn. And today the title is Investigate Your Life, the first two choices for healing to connect your life and to feel your life will continue to be important as you make the third choice to investigate your life. Connecting and feeling are an integral part of investigating your life. Try to continue the process of healing without first connecting and feeling, and it will be extremely difficult, if not impossible. Answer for yourself the 3 questions below. So here they go. Number 1, are you doing things that separate you from others? 2, is your life bombarded with conflict? And 3, do you say the wrong things in the wrong way and don't know why? It doesn't matter if you are single and never married, married or divorced, almost everyone answers yes to those questions. Almost everyone answers yes. The problem is few are willing to go through the struggle of answering the next big question, why? Why are you doing things that separate you from others? Why is your life bombarded with conflict? Why do you say the wrong things in the wrong way? Why do you do that? Getting at the why is a choice that you have to make. Your choice to heal your life includes beginning to search for truth about why you do what you do and why you feel the way you feel. Stephen Arterburn says that over his career of counseling, speaking, and writing, he has come in contact with thousands of individuals struggling through life. They are in relationships, in careers, in the midst of tragedy, or 100 other aspects of life that they are not handling healthily. They are often on the brink of complete and total disaster. And above all, they do not ask why they do what they do and why they feel the way they feel. Instead, they point the finger of blame at others. They show resentment toward others. They refuse to look at themselves. They ignore the horrible situation. They become irritable and angry easily. And they reject normal help and healing. Many times, the struggle you face could produce in you a better outcome if you were willing to take a deeper look at the situation you are stuck in. But where do you begin? Well, he suggests that you begin by admitting that there are things about yourself that you do not know. You are a mystery to yourself in many ways. And our scripture reading is Lamentations 3:40. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. I love that, and I want to do that myself. So as we conclude our little reading here, let's pray for healing. Let's pray that we don't just keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that you care about us. Lord, I just have a little note here from one of my listeners whose both parents died of COVID. How shocking it is to lose someone this time of the year. Lord, I know I've been there and it's just devastating. So Lord, be a comfort to them and help them in their healing process. Lord, we pray for the family that is struggling with low or no income, and they'd like to have Christmas for their family. Just be with them, Lord, and help those around them to step up and help. And Lord, we pray for our nation. May you bring your will upon it. And we pray for each seeker that they will find in you a loving Savior. a father, a brother, and that they will know how much you cherish them. All this I pray, Lord, in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! So here's a fun gift to make for a cousin or a brother or sister. It's called a marshmallow shooter, and what you use is a clear tube like a cake pop container, a balloon, scissors, mini marshmallows, rubber bands are optional. Take the uninflated balloon and tie it in a knot in the end, then cut the bottom half, round part of the balloon off. Stick the open end of the balloon on the top end of the cake pop container, and you're ready to play. That's all you need to do. If you have an energetic shooter, like a, like a lot of us do, you may want to use a rubber band to reinforce the balloon. It will help it stay on no matter how hard they pull. So you would take that and go around the top. As soon as you have them ready, you can decorate the balloon with polka dots or stars or whatever, then you can have some fun. In the meantime, if you want to add it to your curriculum, you can add it as part of your engineering thing, because it's interesting to see why the marshmallows pop out. Why do they? What's happening there? You can also buy those clear containers if you're not eating a bunch of push-up style cake pop containers. You can go to Michael's and you can buy them, or Joann's Fabric. Even a sturdy plastic cup would probably work. So just have fun making a little set for that cousin. And if all else fails, you can use my famous paper rolls from toilet paper. I love that. That they're usable for that as well. It's just you can't see the marshmallows inside of it, but you can certainly pop them out. So to do this, just have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. So we've been connecting the Advent calendar to our curriculum. We're designing curriculum that we don't have to buy a book for, and at the same time, we want to make it meaningful to our students. So today, my Christmas Advent calendar, day 17, is very simple. We might choose to light a candle for a loved one that is sick or a loved one that has passed away during this year and just remember them. Candles are a wonderful way for students to learn about melting wax, fire. You know, it's not a big, huge fire. It's a quite controlled fire. So if you don't want to connect it to that heavy emotional topic of loss, you can certainly connect it to fire and things that we do in science all the time. So I love the idea that on day 17, we'll work with candles and just explore some of the properties of fire. Questions parents ask. Help, help. My son is 10. He reads at a fifth grade level but cannot spell. He wrote in his journal today. Then I correct a few sentences and he copies them. He couldn't read what he wrote. He was so discouraged. We have tried at least 4 different spelling programs, but nothing helps. For a while, I just dropped it. Some of the way he writes fits with dysgraphia, but not all. Well, it sounds like you have a very intelligent son, and I'm here to tell you that spelling is not an indication of intelligence. Some people never learn to spell well, and there's a couple of reasons. Number one, their brain works so fast that they see the word and they're able to read it without having to phonetically sound it out and use some of those strategies that we've taught them about the short vowel sounds, the long vowel sounds and silent helpers, the various digraphs and diphthongs and all of that. They just did sight reading. They somehow knew. And often the brain knows, but we can't get it down on paper. So he probably is somewhat dysgraphia. I would recommend beginning to teach him typing and not sweat it so much. It's nothing that he needs to be discouraged about. There are hundreds and hundreds of students in the same situation. They have these brilliant minds. It's all there, but they can't get it down readily on paper. They can't spell to save their lives. They can't write it down. And so I really focus on helping them learn how to type. So purchasing a Chromebook or a laptop that he can start learning to type on will be a great tool for him, because he might just be brilliant when it comes to creative writing and then always be hamstrung because he couldn't get it down on paper. We wouldn't want that to happen. We really want him to feel successful. We want him to experience success. And most of all, you can encourage him. Don't be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. There are many people that had similar ailments that they just had a hard time getting it down. But once they did get it down, either with someone writing it for them or they had technology help them, it was absolutely brilliant. God just doesn't give us all the same gifts at the same time. So that's my advice. Take it for whatever it's worth.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome to Homeschool Companion. I'm Dr. Rose Gamlin. Thank you for staying with us for the second part of our interview. And today we're going to talk with Brian Bird and Michelle Cox. Let's take up where we left off yesterday. So maybe just describe a little bit the pattern you had for this devotional.
So as Michelle just revealed to us, we would summarize what folks had seen in the show, and that encapsulate a little bit of that story at the front end of the devotional. But then we let that be a jumping off point for a deeper dive into those God moments. And then we would want to leave our readers with some wonderful questions and a prayer that is just a guide that they can use to explore those dreams and to ask God to help them understand the wrinkles that come and the surprises and the fastballs and the cars that back into us and all of those things, help us understand how to cope with those things, but yet hang on to the dream. And so there's a prayer and there's great sort of questions from the heart, right, about this content that they can continue that conversation. And those questions are exactly what people are resonating with at the end of these devotional chapters, because it's what they can take into their day. It's what they can take into their conversations around the water cooler with their friends.
So why do we have trouble trusting God with the big plans that he gives us?
You know, I think sometimes we limit God by our capabilities instead of his limitless abilities. And I know sometimes we think we can do things ourselves as well, when if we'd just get out of his way, he could do so much more with us. And so, you know, it's just like I said before, it's taking that first step of faith. The Red Sea didn't part until they stepped foot in the water. And so it's just saying, okay, God, I don't understand how it's going to happen. I don't have the skills or the abilities to do this, but I'm going to trust you to provide everything that we need along the way. And I know for myself and Brian as well, if we had time to tell you, God's done an amazing job of doing just exactly that.
And because the scripture promises this, right? He does have good plans for us. He has our lives mapped out for us. We don't, but he does. And we have to trust that he knows what he's doing. Even if we have spells when it doesn't feel like there's any planning ahead of us, right? We have to trust that he's got that in store for us and be open to listening for that still small voice to know where to go and what to do.
And we do have to feed ourselves faith food rather than fear food. Okay, the next question. Why is it important to remain faithful even when things become tough?
Well, as Michelle said, you come to the Jordan River and you look across that river and it's at flood stage. And yet you know you're supposed to put your toe in the water. What do? You become obedient. You put your toe in the water because you choose obedience. Then God does amazing. But he doesn't do amazing before you put your toe in the water.
You know, just reading your bios, I thought, yeah, it's a God thing because there's no one human being that can accomplish all that without it being a God thing. Because I'm sure many times you've put your toe in the water, you've stepped out, and if you hadn't have stepped out, those opportunities would not have materialized. It's just as simple as that.
Oh, and there have been times, I'm sure, for Brian as well as myself, we've stepped that foot out, and then all of a sudden we're like, what have we done?
Piranhas just bit my toe.
Yes, that's true. You know, bad things happen sometimes. So I don't know if it's possible. The last question for this first day would be, how can you recognize if your big dreams are from God or if they are just your own desires?
Well, I, from speaking from my own experience, I think it's revealed to you along the way. I've always sort of felt like God has left breadcrumbs for me. And I know I'm supposed to follow the breadcrumbs. I don't know exactly where they're going to go, but he has given me those little dreams in front of me. And I need to expect surprises at the end, right? Dream big. Even dream small, it's okay too, but expect surprises because he's able to weave the circumstances of our lives and the people in our lives to help us get to where he wants us to go. But not if we're afraid, not as you said, if we're eating fear food, that doesn't, yeah, that just keeps us sitting on a chair. It,
yes,
doesn't allow us to get up and follow those breadcrumbs, and that it's the Holy Spirit. It's God's plans for us. It's his will for us to follow the breadcrumbs that he leaves for us. Sometimes those breadcrumbs we can mistake for something else, and we follow something else, and we get off the path. But if we come back to the main path and continue to look for those signs that he's left for us, and he does, we all have those experiences. We all know when God leaves us or gives us a sign, right? Everybody has those experiences. It's just that we're not looking for them all the time. We get in our own way. We get blinders on. We don't have our eyes open. We stumble over our own feet instead of just keep our eyes fixed ahead and look for the signposts that God has left for us to take us where he wants us to go.
And for me, it starts with prayer. And one of my prayers is, God, shut every door except the one that you want to be open. And I don't want to walk through those doors. And then for me, it's usually when God just keeps nudging my heart in a direction and nudging my heart until I'm like, okay, this has got to be from him. And it's been an incredible journey for both of us of how God has equipped us with everything that we've needed, that he sent people into our lives who could mentor us, who could help us. And then we have a wonderful team of about 60 people who pray for us and what we do, and they are as important part of our ministry as what we are.
So I'd like you both to think back to that decision or that first time where if you had taken a different path, how different your life would have been, that first breadcrumb, so to speak. So think back and then share with us.
About this devotional or just in life in general?
In your life in general. Because I think especially young people are wondering, what does that look like? How do I know? And there must have been a pivotal time in your younger lives where if you hadn't gone that direction, your life would have been so much different.
I have one I'm happy to share. So the first thing I ever did in the film and TV business was when I was 25 years old. I wrote an episode of the old show Fantasy Island that young people won't even know what I'm talking about. But I think you do.
I do.
And,
the plane.
There you go. There you go. And I was 25 years old. I was I got a big head immediately from that because I had my name on ABC, on network television, in front of 25 million people across the country watching that show. And then the show got canceled after that. And I thought, okay, well, there was my one cup of coffee in the major leagues as a writer. And I was a journalist at that point. And about 3 years later, I was in Ethiopia doing a magazine story on the famine victims there. And it was in the hotel room in Addis, Ethiopia, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. And I was flipping through the television 3 years after the whole Fantasy Island thing happened. And guess what I saw? Not only Fantasy Island, but my episode of Fantasy Island with Amharic subtitles.
Mm.
And in the 3 years since that had happened, I had gotten some perspective on that, right? Who cares, really? I mean, one episode of a show like that. And yet I realized in that moment that if that show was being exported all over the world, and if something sort of that just, it was just a piece of entertainment, it wasn't anything mm-hmm. particularly kingdom worthy at that moment. But I said, if something as non-kingdom as that is being exported all over the globe, then the opposite has to be true. And it was a crystal moment for me. It was a breadcrumb that God was laying down for me. It was an epiphany, a theophany for me as a believer. And I said, God, if you and I loved what I did, I said, God, if you want to put me back into that world, you open the doors. But he had set that hunger in my heart and that dream, breadcrumbs of a dream in front of me. And 10 years later, and I began working immediately and worked for 10 years, but 10 years later, I was working on Touched by an Angel. And that show was in 85 countries around the world.
Amen.
So I followed those breadcrumbs.
Yes, yes.
And for me, I think it was starting my writing journey. I was deep into politics, had been very heavily involved with that, running my county for one of the political parties, and loved what I was doing, had no intentions of doing anything else. And I compiled a cookbook as a gift to welcome my son's bride to the family and invited our family and friends to send recipes. And I wrote stories about the people so she could get to know our family and friends, and gave a copy to my pastor's wife. And a few weeks later, got a call from him and said, you need to do something with your writing, which I thought was hysterical. But God kept nudging my heart in that direction until one day I got down on my knees and I said, okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. But we might have one small problem here. Have you happened to notice that I can't write? And then I heard that still small voice say, that's okay, I can. You just be willing and I'll take care of the rest. And God sent amazing people into my life to mentor me. He opened unbelievable doors. And I sent off my first article and it got rejected. And I said, see, God, I told you I couldn't write. And I quit for a year. And then God kept nudging my heart again until one day I got down on my knees and I said, okay, God, you didn't call me to be successful. You called me to be faithful, and I'm going to write for you if I never sell anything. And
Amen.
That's when things started happening.
Amen. Well, we've come to the end of our show. Thank you so much. I've been talking to Brian Bird and to Michelle Cox, and you've just given us a wonderful testimony of how God is using you in your writing and in Hollywood. So we'll have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.